Today we're focusing on ugly words that have a tendency to come out sometimes, well, maybe especially during the holidays. Perhaps every family has some kind of unspoken rule or sensitive area that you don't talk about. Usually you don't talk about religion or politics at the table, and that causes a lot of feuds. Well, in my house, it's a little different. It's about cooking. Let me explain. My mom was a cook at a country club for many, many years. She's an excellent cook. She could cook just about anything, and she was very proud of her cooking. And when we visited mom and dad, if we were married, it was great because whatever we told them that we were interested in eating, she'd just make it. And so that was great. That was wonderful. But Linda's full Italian. And so she grew up with her grandmother making her own pasta and hanging it on lines and letting it dry and growing her own tomatoes and making her own sauce. And her mom made wedding soup from scratch. And it was just like a whole, you know, East meets West, the hillbillies meets the Italians. And so it was a real... It was a real mishmash, you know, and when Christmas dinner would come, it would be a mishmash, and we'd have a little bit of everything, but the one thing you couldn't say, even if it was true, well, you couldn't say, oh, you know, this dish is a little salty, or, oh, I think they overcooked this. The knives came out, because nobody insulted anybody's cooking. It was like the unspoken word. That was our thing. Now, I don't know what it is at your house. Maybe you have a family member you can't talk about, an event that you can't talk about, a place you can't talk about. Whatever it is, it's a misunderstanding of some sort, and it seems like it brings out the worst in people, and people get upset, and sometimes we intentionally wound people with our words. Words have other abilities. It can tear others down, but it can also build people up. And a careless word can last a lifetime, and the same thing as a positive word can encourage for years. This teaches us words have power. That's what we understand, is words have power. This is a concept we see a lot of times in the Bible. Words are more than just words. They have power, and it says so in Proverbs chapter 18. It says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God gives us an incredible responsibility in the way in which we speak to each other. And our words have a strong power of life and death, of blessing and of cursing, and just by a common word, we can sometimes make or break a day. Several years ago, I was attending a state preachers meeting, and the speaker was talking about how preachers are the encouragers of their congregation and try to be the encouragers of others. And in the same message, he mentions, but preachers need encouraging too. And he asked this question. He said, how many of you have a file where you've put notes and cards and maybe copies of emails and things that people have sent you that were encouraging and positive? I was amazed. When I heard that, I thought I was the only one that did that. And whenever he said it, everybody's hand went up. Everybody had one of those files. You know, after 44 years in ministry, you get cards and notes and letters and things that people write to you when they're pouring their heart out and they're thanking you. And when you get those, you know, you file them away because there are going to be days when it's going to be really dreary and it's going to be really hard and it's going to be difficult to get through. And that's the day you pull that file out and you read through it. And maybe you don't have a file like that, but maybe you have some memories like that, that whenever you have a bad day, you can remember some things that were said, some encouragements were given to you, because words have power. There are positive things and negative things that word can do. And unfortunately, the negative words are just as powerful as the positive. During the Christmas season, we see a lot of friends and family, and it's easy to people you haven't seen recently or talked too much to say the wrong thing, to ask a wrong question. Last few years, it's been especially difficult with COVID. I mean, there are people, Linda and I know people who literally locked themselves in their house. They had food delivered. They didn't go out of the house for anything, closed the windows. Literally, they just shut themselves in. It was like they were in a radioactive fallout area. And COVID had, because of the talking heads on TV, they were scared to death. And they just went long periods of time without seeing other people. And it had to be so awkward when you go back into seeing people after you've not seen them for a long time to be able to finally greet them and talk to them. And every one of us, when we came out of COVID, we would do the We didn't know if we were going to shake hands, pat on the back, give them a hug, whatever, because we were just so reactive to the COVID experience. And many times we didn't get a chance to talk and to converse with people. It made it very difficult. You know, some of you might remember the old Highlights Children magazine. You could find them in all the doctor's offices. Everybody had a Highlights magazine. Now, I know right now probably the 20-somethings are like, Highlight what? Magazine? What's a magazine? I know, I'm old. A feature of the magazine, see if anybody remembers this, Goofus and Gallant. Anybody remember them? A couple people, okay. That was always an insert in the highlight. Anyway, what it would do is this is a clipping of a Goofus and Gallant clip. It would show a Goofus, who was the good kid, and he would say the right thing or he would do the right thing. And then Goofus would come in and he would say something really stupid or rude or whatever. And they would usually talk about the same thing. And I remember one, I dug one up, and it features Goofus and Gallant, and they're asked to describe their teachers. And they describe their teachers kind of the same way, but using different approaches to words. Gallant says, her beauty is timeless. That's Gallant. Goofus says, she has a face that would stop a clock. And you see what I'm saying about how you can kind of say the same thing, but you can make one positive and one negative. That was Goofus and Gallant. I mean, some of you 20-somethings missed out on Highlight magazine. That was the thing. You know, if you go into a doctor's office and they had a highlight, you think, hey, I'll keep busy for a little while. And then you'd be all disappointed because somebody had actually taken a pen and done the puzzles and things in there. And you're like, oh, wow, why didn't they do it in pencil? I could have erased it and tried it again. In the book of James, we have some extensive warnings about how the tongue can be used in speech. And he's addressing the early church because there were a lot of problems of people speaking out of turn and saying things. And they were making disciples. And it was the mission of the church to make disciples. And that can be sabotaged by careless words. Listen to James 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships. They're so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they're guided by a very small rudder, which is the will of the pilot. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set afire by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. He's given us some really clear illustrations here as he's done this. Large things are controlled by little things. He talks about horses. You know, you have to put the bit in the horse's mouth, and that bit's what really directs those horses around as they're trying to move them around from place to place. Horses can be controlled that way. Large ships. You ever been on a cruise ship? They're just so immense. They just are scary. They're so big. But if you ever walk to the back, the rudder really isn't that big. But yet it moves the whole ship. And forests, as large as whole forests can be, all it takes is a single spark to burn the forest down. In the same way our tongues can be with the rest of our body. We've got to control our tongues. Think first, speak less. You know, it's funny. God gave us two ears to hear, gave us two eyes to see with, but he gave us one tongue. I think he was trying to tell us something. James also said something, reminders to Christians about how they can praise one another. There's power in that. And think about the holiday season. You know, there are people who are going to attend church services. They're going to sing hymns. They're going to gather together, praise God. They're going to light candles. They're going to sing Silent Night. And they're going to leave this building and go home and say ugly words to one another. James believes there's a problem that we need to address, that you can't have it both ways. You can't say you love God and you curse people that God created. You can't have a river with both salt and fresh water. You can't have a fig tree that produces olives. As Christians, we need to filter our words and be careful in what we say to one another. And I'll be the first to tell you, as a preacher, I got 100 people trying to ask me a question all at the same time. You know, as soon as I appear, I literally kind of hide in my office to go over my sermon and review my sermon because I know as soon as I appear, I'm going to be glommed onto by several people who have to ask me very important questions. Do you like the table here or here? I don't care. Okay, what about here? I don't know. I don't care. Oh, what do you think about this light? How are you going to fix this light? I don't know. I'm not an electrician. I really don't know. They ask me a lot of questions that truthfully, I don't know a lot of answers to. But I get a lot of questions that are just constantly asking. And you know what? It's easy. It's transparency confession time. It's really easy sometimes to say, I don't know. Try not to do that. But it's really easy sometimes during holidays, times when people are busy, people are all trying to talk to you. It's really easy sometimes to come back with a negative word. You don't even catch yourself until it's over, until it's out your mouth. It's one of those kind of things you can't bring back in. You can't erase it. It's said. And that's why I think it's so important, especially this time of year, for us to be considerate that words, speak words that lift up. That's really key for us at this time of year. Speak words that lift up. This is the point where James is making to reject some words. He's saying, lift up with our words. Lift up to praise God. Lift up our family, Christians, others. And these words of Luke chapter 6. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasures in his heart, for out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. When things are coming out of your mouth, it's because there's an abundance of it in your body, in your heart. When words come out, sometimes they're negative words, curse words. They come out because of an abundance of them being in your body. This means the words we speak are really based in our hearts. A good heart bubbles up with positive words and good actions. And evil hearts lash out with others and share the pain that we feel. Sometimes you have to ask yourself the words that you're speaking, what do they reveal about you? The way you're talking to people, how does that reveal who you are? I heard this a few weeks ago when I was in Nevada, and it has stuck with me. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. If you've been hurt, if you're carrying a hurt with you, without even realizing it, you may be walking around hurting others because you've been hurt. And I really encourage you to find a trusted friend, a Christian counselor, a mentor, maybe even a Christian professional counselor to talk to you. The point is, don't let your heart cause the hurt of others. And even more than not causing the hurt, let's try to encourage others and lift others up. It's really simple. You can write a note. You can send a positive message. You can send a text, an email, a phone call, share a meal with somebody. There are so many ways that you can encourage other people these days. There's so many ways, communicative-wise, that you can just drop down for 30 seconds, stop long enough to send a note. Somebody did something really great in your life. Or you saw somebody do something wonderful, or you noticed somebody who was caring about others. It's great to send them a text. Send them a note real quick and just say, hey, I just saw the way you interacted with so-and-so, and I just want to say that was a blessing to see that. Can you imagine the uplifting, the encouragement it gets when someone's noticed you've done something good? Everybody wants to catch us doing bad things, right? And it's way too easy. Let's look for positive things that we can do to encourage one another. We have to make some choices. I read this story. I don't think it's true, but it's an interesting story of a famous Greek philosopher named Xanthus, who asked his servant to provide the very best eating dish that he could provide. The servant prepared a dish of tongue. I'm assuming beef tongue. He says, it's the best of all dishes because with it we may bless and communicate happiness, dispel sorrow, remove despair, cheer the faint-hearted, inspire the discouraged, and say 100 other things to uplift mankind. The philosopher thought it was pretty good. He then went to him and said, prepare for me the worst dish. The servant came to him and again brought him tongue. He said, it's the worst because with it we can curse and break human hearts. We destroy reputations, promote discord and strife, set families and communities and nations at war with each other. See, this tongue that we have, that we take for granted that we have, it can bless people and it can break people. It can show love and it discriminate lies. It can help and it can hurt. It can build up and it can break down. Remember, these are the words from James, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. I read this a little earlier. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. I remember many, many years ago, I was in a group called Civil Air Patrol, and it was kind of an auxiliary of the Air Force. My brother was in it, and I was in it, and we were going to the local airport. We were going to have a meeting, and there was going to be the plan for an air show. And so we were wearing our uniforms, which really were basically Air Force uniforms with the Civil Air Patrol logos, and we were getting a ride. And of course, in those days, you hitched, and we were hitching a ride. And a guy stopped, and I got in the back. I was the younger brother, and he was the older brother. He got in the front, and he said, "Hey, it's great." He said, "I'm going real near the airport. It's great." And he's just cursing along, and just every other word. I'm thinking, like, oh, man, this guy can really sling a slang. And he's going on and on and on. And he asked my brother where he was stationed, and he thought he was in the real military. And so he said, "Oh, no, we're in the Civil Air Patrol, and we're going up to a meeting up here. And my brother wants to be a preacher." Where did that come into the conversation? Tell me. Where? I'm just sitting there thinking, What? How did I get in this? And of course, my brother loved to do that kind of stuff, kind of put me in the spot. And of course, the guy right away said, "Oh, that's great. Oh, bless you. Oh, God bless you for being so wonderful." And then suddenly all these blessings started coming out of his mouth. And I'm in the back seat. I'm just like, you know, got whiplash. You know, one minute he's cursing me, next minute he's blessing me. It was a living example that I remember to this day of what James says about curses and blessings coming from the same mouth. I know this is a great time of the year. Why not make the extra step in blessing people? Why not make the extra step in building other people up? Why not make the extra step in encouraging somebody, dropping somebody that note or that email, or just tapping them and saying, "Hey, thanks for giving me that example of how to live in life. It was real positive. I really appreciate it." Let's practice the old chorus that many of us have heard growing up. They will know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be an example of blessing in this world. There are so many people who are struggling, so many obstacles, problems people are struggling with. It's difficult times for many people, and there's a lot of people who are going without this year because of it being so difficult financially. Help us, Father, to have eyes like you, to see people, to recognize the need, and Father, to do something. That Father, out of our abundance, many times we can help, but we choose not to help. Help us to have a heart like yours, sensitive, loving, and encouraging. Let us have encouraging words come from our mouth rather than negative and frustrated and tired. Instead, we build people up. Let them see the love of Jesus in our life and in our language. Let them see that they are loved by you tremendously, and as a result, we love them too. Give us that kind of peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.